Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It is, what day is it actually? It's August 29th. Well, Monday. Labor Day is coming at the end of this week. Okay, beginning of next. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening today. We got a show today with Jaime Mendez. Jaime is the regional vice president and an application engineer for Front Row by Boxlight. And I want you to know this website. It's gofrontrow.com. They do classroom audio speakers, classroom audio systems, microphones, and school intercoms. It's great for kids who are having hearing challenges. But I also want to make the point, it's also important in this day and age for teachers, because you don't have to scream, okay? Your voice is carried by speaking in a normal voice using the front row system, okay? And Javi's going to talk about that. It's built for kids with hard of hearing and hearing challenges and all that, but it has other attributes, and I just wanted to make that clear. This is an important thing, and in this day and age, I'll make it clear, too, that everything we can do to ease a teacher's burden, okay, helps teacher retention. So please, you know, if anybody who's listening, just check this out. It's gofrontrow.com, and Jaime's going to tell us all of the things about that we need to know. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website, ace-ed.org, for American Consortium for Equity in Education. And I'm very happy to be doing the show because obviously a Front Row product of classroom audio helps the equity situation. All right. So everything we do is at ace-ed.org. We have teacherretention.com. Our new website has some great teacher professional development. We have SEL Today, all about social emotional learning, seltoday.org. Everything's linked over there. Our Excellence in Equity Awards is also there. Our online journal, which is a new issue called Equity and Access Pre-K-12, the new back-to-school issue, is up there. Just click on the cover. You'll see it there. And, of course, we archive all our podcasts there, as we will do with this one. Okay, so please check out everything we do at ace-ed.org. It's all about equity, and it's all about equitable access to learning. And that's what it's all about. Jaime, am I pronouncing your first name correctly?
You are certainly pronouncing it right, Larry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, for letting me know that. Jaime, where are you today?
Well, I am broadcasting today from my hometown in Lehigh, a small rural city in Utah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Where is that in relation to Salt Lake?
It's about 35 miles south of Salt Lake City. Yes, it's a suburb to Salt Lake City. I'm very pleased with the area where I live. We have plenty of agricultural states around. Right behind my house, there is a horse ranch, and so I cannot be any happier.
I am glad you're happy, and it's nice to have you so happy, especially on a Monday. Okay, it's great. And I mentioned to you, excuse me, to everybody, that you're regional vice president over at Front Row, and you're an application engineer. I'd always like to do this. Just tell everybody how you spend your day. What does an application engineer working for Front Row do all day? And by the way, your boss did not ask me to ask you that. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
you know you work
thank
hard.
Thank you for the question, though. So, applications engineering means about transmitting everything that you know about the products that you have and everything that you know about technology and all the, you know, very deep technology part into documents and drawings and everything else that will help the engineering side of a project understand and put those documents into the project manual. So much before any school is being built, we go ahead and educate the architect and the engineering side when they have an interest in the applying our product. Then we have a group of three applications engineers in Front Row. And we get these engineers all the documentation that they need to make sure that the communications backbone for that school, for that campus, is impeccable, and that when it's going to be executed a year down the road, it's going to execute very well just because it started well.
And, you know, you brought up something interesting. You're talking about the building of schools and including good classroom audio, good school communications, paging, intercom, all that sort of stuff. That's what you guys do over there.
Yes.
Okay, which I think is great. And I'm just curious, you know, it's great when you're going to get that done in a brand new school they're building. Can you guys put that into a school that's maybe old? I went to school in Philadelphia. When I was there, all the schools were old. Okay, and how do you do in terms of a school that's fairly old, okay, even 30 years old, 20 years old? How do you go in with that?
Yeah, it's a fair question. Yes, so all of those are infrastructure projects, whether it's a new school or it is a modernization, it's an addition, or it's a complete retrofit, or sometimes it's a complete replacement from an old school. All of those are part of what we call infrastructure projects. And yes, definitely there are applications that are much better for an already existing school, and there are applications that are far better for a completely brand new school. No matter what, the users will get the newest and best equipment around. There are a few things that you can change in a school, like those electronic parts. There are some acoustical properties that are in old schools that cannot be changed just right away. They have to be treated accordingly, and then in that case, once they're properly treated, then you can go ahead and do the electronics. It's a little bit of a more expensive when you have to acoustically treat an old school. But, you know, we have advanced so much in the science of acoustics and understanding how they play this role that buildings that have been built like 50 or 40 years ago, they really have just the grasping the edges of this science of acoustics.
It's so interesting to me, and it makes teachers besides the kids, and we're going to talk about that, it just makes the teacher's life easier. And also in this day and age, and I just have to say this, okay, we were talking about intra-school communications, okay, technology solutions, intercoms, paging, bells, I'm just reading here, mass notifications, et cetera, okay, classroom sound, auditorium sound, et cetera. In this day and age, it's a school safety issue, as well as just a simple hearing issue. As well as just a simple communications issue, it's a school safety issue. Okay, and I know you guys know
so
that.
Right.
Yeah, tell me, talk to me from your point of view. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Larry. Communication and safety go hand to hand.
Yeah, they do.
There is no safety without the good communication. And today, safety issues have always been in the foremost side of developers and school builders, and unfortunately, it has been brought up more and more as sad events have happened throughout the nation. I think we realize that the learning environment to be learning and truly very specialized in helping kids learn, they have to feel safe. Safe is both the feeling of a child that goes to school and knows that he can do everything that is possible to become, you know, whatever it is in their dreams. And also it has to be safe from the aspect that we can approach those elements in society that are disrupting today. So there are many levels to that safety, and audio plays a role in both of them. So beyond audio, which is probably one thing that your people are listening to this podcast are interested. Communications go beyond just listening to something that is being played through speakers. Communication can be machines, talking to machines, making things happen at a point that is so fast that you don't even think about doing it manually. Let me give you an example of how it displays. There are some alert buttons that are embedded in many different ways in different interfaces for the users. And these emergency buttons are just a surface of many layers of different actions that can be taken at the same time. So when they are, say, doing an alarm for fire, there are a lot of different steps that have to be taken before that alarm is played. They have to answer some questions like, what do you want to do? Whom do you want to call? What people in what list do you want to notify? Do you want to open the gate? Do you want us to notify that there is a fire? Do you want the fire alarm to notify instead and probably kill all the audio throughout the school so that we can hear the fire alarm notified? So those are many questions that have to be answered prior, and those are just very simple questions. There are far many more questions into how do you go into responding to an alarm like that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you hit that button, everything is programmed to do exactly what you said. So you can first notify a group of people via text, via email. Second, you can notify first responders, and then you can probably open the gate automatically. Then you can notify everybody that there is a fire alarm, and so forth. So there is a lot of different activities that go along in that response or that particular response. So, and these are not just one per place-based actions. Or in other words, these buttons are not just in one interface. These buttons can be embedded in many different interfaces, so they can be invoked at any point from anywhere in school.
So I'll tell you, that's so interesting. And you know what is interesting about it? The typical educator doesn't think about these things. Okay, we depend on our administrators to do it. We depend on They depend on the companies they're working with to do it. It just has to be all thought out, okay? And there's a lot of layers to this. All right, I want to get into these statistics for a second, Jaime, and for the audience. According to the CDC, about 15% of children ages 16 to 19 have hearing loss at least 16 decibels in one or both ears. 15% is a lot. And 1% have severe hearing loss. Okay, we got to take care of them too. Okay, are you finding? And I know you're not in the sales department. You're not going out and talking to schools per se. Are you finding that the school districts are aware of this situation? What are you hearing back from everybody?
Well, it is such an interesting fact that you have mentioned that. This is science right behind that. And how do school districts know about it? School districts do the best they can. I have to say that.
Yeah.
And I have to stand up for that because many school districts are not, don't have as much funding as compared to others. And they still do provide these screening services for the children. And that's how we kind of get to know a little bit about what's going on. But let me tell you, here in Lehigh, the city where I live, we have a PTA that helps by providing volunteers to help the screening for the hearing of the students. So it is kind of a volunteer basis. And obviously, they're just, you know, all heart, and they want to help. But you don't know that what they're doing is exactly right or exactly scientific. So we have to start from the baseline that many school districts don't have the resources to have an audiologist seeing the child. Every child in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So that by the baseline is a hard thing to start with. But yes, school districts are learning more about it, and usually they have an audiologist that once a child has been screened, is obviously treated. And there are different levels of hearing loss. There's this mild 16 to 20 dB hearing loss. And when I say mild, we say mild because there's a comparison, but if 15 or 20 decibels of loss is enough for you to not understand speech completely. So I don't want to make this to look a little bit less than it is when I am saying mild. It is mild in reference to complete hearing loss, but it is an important issue when the child has that kind of hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they go to the audiologist and they are treated. Many times it's just an ear infection. That, I mean, we all go through different colds, cold seasons, and here at home we all take turns. And that, and then there is this issue. A child just goes to school with ear infection and nobody knows about it, but he's not hearing well. And then there are other situations that are, you know, deeper into that. There is more of a nerve situation in which there needs to be something else done for that child. In that case, they could receive an amplification system, which is a personal listening device, to which the kids wear a little receiver that is hooked up to headphones, and then they receive a very clear, amplified voice of the teacher who is wearing a microphone on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how school districts deal with it today. But the worst part of this is that many of these kids that go to school with a hearing loss, we don't know about it. And that is the issue that truly is underlining this, that about 25% of these kids that are going today at school are not having a good hearing day. It's not necessarily that they are having a hearing loss or a permanent hearing loss. It is that many things could have happened, just too much walks in the ear or something like that. But that is the fact that we have collected out of scientific research, that about 20 to 25% attend school with some hearing situation.
To me, it's all fascinating. As I said, it's something that you don't think about that often, okay? And if a parent doesn't make a point, it just loses. And I want to get into the other side of what I said at the beginning of the show. I mean, what are you hearing? And I think this is important. For years, teachers have had to talk loudly, okay, so you can hear their voice in a classroom. Okay, it's hard. And you do that for 5-6 hours a day. It's hard on your voice. And a lot of teachers, we don't want to lose any teachers. It's hard to find new teachers. We want to keep teachers, get retention. An experienced teacher, somebody who's 50 years old, it's hard on your voice. And as you talk to superintendents and all that sort of thing, Jaime, what are you hearing about that side of it? And I think that's an important side that sometimes is overlooked. What do you think?
You are making such a good point here, and I'm thankful that you're bringing up these questions. First, because I think that the most important of the learning process that we have in the classroom is called a teacher. And if you're going to compare to any technology, teachers are the best technology ever. And they are there. They have studied the science of learning, and they know what to do. They're the professionals. And it is sad that teachers have to strain their voices to the point that sometimes they have some disease coming out of it just because they are exercising the profession. And we all exercise our professions in many different ways. And whenever we go into something that is hazardous, we get protected, and then those things are addressed. But teachers are not. In general, they are not. They're not being considered that speaking all day at the level that they have to speak up, which is about 65 to 70 decibels, that can injure somebody's voice. And it actually does. When you do that for a long time, that can definitely become a workplace hazard that has to be addressed. Now,
Go ahead.
So superintendents in school districts are aware of many things. I mean, there's so many things in schools. Just talk about it. Think about all the needs that are there and all the different issues that are there. And the voice being one of the many, and sometimes it is brought up and then it's addressed. Sometimes it is just in the queue of things to be addressed. But there is a way to do that.
There really is. It's just to me, the whole thing is incredible, and this is an equity issue. To me, it's just plain and simple an equity issue, and we have the technology. And yeah, do you have any idea, Jaime, what percentage of schools have an audio system built into the school? I don't know that. Do you?
Yeah, I tend to know about 10 to 13% of schools have some kind of an audio system to help out the teacher. Now,
that's
10 to 13% that were put at some point in the last probably 20 years, and what percentage of that is functional today? That I don't know, but I don't think it's 100%. Let's say if it is at half. Then the answer to your questions would be between 6.5 to 7%.
You know, what you just said, that's, you know, if you're talking about 10, let's say you're talking about 15%, that's way too low a number in this day and age when the technology exists to get it right. All right? We have the,
yeah.
It's that simple. It reminds me just a few weeks ago. All right. You know, hearing aids, it's funny, it's the same thing. Hearing aids, all right, were very, 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 very expensive for people. All right. And a lot of people are suffering hearing loss. Just a few weeks ago, they made them over the counter, Medicare would pay for it. Okay. That was a big thing. Okay. Point being, we have the technology. You have to make it easy for people to get to the technology. All right, and that's what you guys do. I want to say it's gofrontrow.com. Okay,
yeah.
15% of schools having this type of technology, okay, is too low a number. And Jaime, what you just said, some of those systems are probably so old they're not even using them anymore. Okay, and,
exactly.
And the audio systems aren't just geared for hearing. Okay, they aren't just geared for speech, they're geared for safety, and they're geared for communications. It's absolutely absurd, okay, that school districts aren't doing it. It would be even more absurd if a new school doesn't make this a simple part of an actual part, okay, of what they're doing. They probably are, and that's actually a good question, and you probably know this, and I don't know how many new schools are being built, but do you find that every new school, or at least most new schools, build in a great audio system? Or are they, and I know they have try to have a good communication system, but they need a good audio system. Okay?
Yeah,
are they building,
right.
What are you finding in terms of just even the new buildings? I mean, that's got to be, I'm hoping that's almost 100%, but I don't know.
Yes, well, I would hope so too, but unfortunately it's not the case. So the building, building value of today, just exactly today, of projects that are out there being either planned or being executed, is about $21 billion. And that is just about, you know, a number of projects, 10,000 projects or so that might be current today. I would say a quarter of that do have classroom audio system that allows the teacher to speak through a microphone, and 75% of the rest will have some kind of a intercom and PA system for basic communications in the school. But there is hope. There is hope. This 25% came from probably around zero about 20 years ago. So we have We have even mapped about 25% of the problem in 20 years. So it is hope that things are moving in the right direction.
But hopefully we're a lot smarter than we were 20 years ago. But things have changed, you know. And I'll go back to the hearing aid thing. You know, everybody likes to hear, all right, but they have to be affordable. And you guys make it affordable. And the point is the technology is there. You have to take advantage of it. Okay, and I'm going to say it again, in this day and age of teacher retention being such an important thing, something that makes it easier on the teachers and helps the kids at the same time. Pardon my coughing, especially in terms of student engagement, et cetera. I mean, to me, it just makes so much sense. That's why I think what you guys do is so important. I really do think it's so important. You know? I got to thank you. We're just about done to finish up what you were going to say just now. Please.
I apologize. I am going to give you a key number. I'm going to give you a key number.
Please
how much is to implement a good backbone of communication system in the school, including microphones for every teacher, good classroom audio, and all the PA intercom and all the safety notifications that go along with that. It's about 1.5% of the cost of a project.
Wow.
1.5%.
Wow.
So that should make designers and administrators think that this is not a too expensive thing to do.
No, it's not.
It's more of thinking about and doing it.
That's my point. I mean, this has to be done. Okay? I learned about Front Row a number of years ago, and I always thought, okay, that this is a product that the world needs. It's to me, it's the most obvious damn thing. Okay, it just really is. And, 1.5%. Any school that doesn't spend 1.5% of its building cost, okay, as you're constructing a new construction cost for this is making a huge error. Okay, it's just a huge, huge error. Okay, Jaime, thank you. I got to go. Unfortunately, we're done. Thank you for being here today. All the way from Utah.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. I enjoyed every second. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed it too. I think our audience learned a lot. Okay, keep up the good work, my friend. You're doing a good thing. You can sleep well at night. You're helping a lot of kids and a lot of teachers.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Okay?
Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And happy Labor Day, by the way. And that's for everybody in case you missed some shows this week. All right, Jaime, thank you so much. That was just great. GoFrontRow.com. They're part of Boxlight now, my good friends. But I'll tell you, this product is just something every school needs. And I thought that for a long, long time. So check it out, GoFrontRow.com. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the week before Labor Day. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening.